So would you like to have your Bibles open this last time at Galatians chapter 6. I think I'll read you this last section once more, and our consideration will be the 16th, 17th and the 18th verses. So let me read from the 11th, Galatians 6, verse 11. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. So, first of all, obviously just a few words, a few remarks, a few comments before I begin to preach. I want to thank Trinity Evangelical Church particularly for being willing to sit for 2 years. It's 2 years ago now since we started this series in Galatians to sit under this ministry. And truly, God has been our instructor. The Holy Spirit has brought home the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ above all works, above all duties, above all outward forms that might be brought to religion. I'm thankful for all of the prayers that have been offered during the ministry, because without it, quite frankly, there could have been no success. There really couldn't. The ministry of God's word must be given over to prayer, and it's been an overwhelming privilege for me as people have responded to the ministry and been thankful for what they have received. I'm thankful particularly that I've not been rushed by any of you. Nobody came to me and said, get a move on. Most of you, I think, you appreciate the laboured approach of verse-by-verse exposition, and I'm glad that you do. But without your cooperation, so to speak, and my commitment to it, this series couldn't have come out the way that it has. And of course, at the end of something like this, thanks be to God, thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, it is for his glory that everything that we do here is done, and there could be no blessing apart from the Holy Spirit of God coming upon all that we put our hands to. If we build the house, well, we know that we labour in vain. But if the Lord builds the house, it will endure forever. And so, rightly and properly, I would say at the end of this extraordinary series, to God, of course, be all of the glory, and of course to his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're left then with these final few verses. And I want the boys and girls to listen this morning, because one or two of you might get a mention in the message as well. I haven't got a card. What does the card say? Paul, what does it say? Paul had tattoos, it says. Oh, that's an interesting one, isn't it? So for all of these messages, I've given a title. And the title was something that you could hold on to, that you could remember. So I want you to listen carefully so that you don't misunderstand what I mean by the title of the message. So let's go to the text then. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule. And the rule, of course, is the rule of that which he had already set out, which he had asserted. That is, the rule is that what counts is a new creation, not those external things. You can have your infant baptism, and you can have your adult baptism, and you can say, I've got this, and I've got that, and I attend church. It counts hugely for nothing if there is not a new creation. What counts is the new creation, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Look, I'm saying it again to you, if you're not transformed on the inside, doesn't matter what anybody does to you on the outside, don't ever come and ask me to do something on the outside for you. God will do his work on the inside. The false teachers were saying to the Galatians, you need a mark in your body on the outside. Paul says, it's not about marks in the body on the outside. It's about a new creation. And this is the rule. We might like to assess churches today on this rule. Not on the rule of bishops and elders, and pastors and teachers, on Paul's rule. I'm not interested in what other churches say about their rule. I'm interested in Paul's rule under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And just let me show you now, how can there be peace and mercy and blessing in the life of the church? While you come to me and say, we'll have this rule, and then you come to me and say, we'll have that rule. I come from a place 30 years ago where I protested about a young man who was coming to the Lord's table. And I said, on what basis does this man come to the Lord's table? Well, he has an outward profession. No, that's not the rule. The rule is a new creation. The rule is new life in Christ. This person can't come to the Lord's table because he's not a new creation. Whose rule are we following in the life of the church? It can't be Trinity Evangelical Church's rule. It can't be my rule. It can't be their rule. It must be Paul's rule. He says, follow this rule. And some of you will know, it's like the carpenter's rule. Do you know what the Greek word is? The Greek word is canon. That's why we speak about the canon of Scripture. It's the rule. I wanted my son Tim to bring one of his architectural devices this morning, and I could have shown it to you. So, you know, when this building was measured, it was measured with an old system, old ruling system. Good old feet and inches, nothing wrong with it. Look at it standing today. But today, if Tim had measured it with his rule, he would have measured it with some kind of electronic device that bounced a laser beam off and then gave a reading, and that would have been the rule, and you would have to go by it. Of course you would. It's the surveyor's line. It's the carpenter's rule. And when will Christians learn that the Bible is the rule? Scripture is the rule, not my opinion, not yours, not churches, not bishops, not elders, not anyone, but the Word of God. This is the canon of Scripture. Do you know, we'll save ourselves a lot of trouble in the future. The churches will be safe. Of course they will. If this be the rule of Scripture. What a remarkable thing that churches have fallen away from the rule. What does matter? What matters is the new creation. Now, I want to just stress this so none of you ever forget it. You'll never forget, surely, what the emphasis was on in Galatians. The emphasis is like this. If we can get Christians to be Christians by, like, joining the Boy Scouts or the Girl Guides, we get them to join. They join up. They get a certificate. They come at a particular time. They can date it. It's all done by men. It's all done by me. It's all done by you. Ah, but to be a Christian needs the power of the Almighty God, and he alone can make a person a Christian. And the difference is between the outward and the inward. Don't ever forget that. So at this point in the message, I ask all of you once more, is there an inward work of God in your life or not? As the Holy Spirit of God come to your life and there is an inward transformation so that you're a new creation. Paul says, what counts in verse 15 is the new creation. Nothing else counts. And some of you might have been slightly bothered, but I'm going to touch on this now. You might have been slightly bothered that over the last few weeks I mentioned infant baptism. Have I got any words to correct myself for that? Of course not. Don't you know that the reason why the churches took up infant baptism, they took it up as a direct connection with circumcision? It was its direct relative. Where on earth do you think that infant baptism came from? It came from the old covenant practice of a badge, a mark, saying, I am circumcised, I belong to Israel. Right, we'll give these children a badge, they're in the church. And extended then, tragically, they're in the kingdom of God. They're safe, they go to heaven. What a tragedy. Can we imagine the Apostle Paul in the church today tolerating this? I'm telling you, it's serious. It's as serious now as it was then. What counts is a new creation? Have you said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of your sin? Then come and be baptized. I can't be your faith for you. I can't be your sponsor. I can't make you into a Christian. It must be the Lord by his grace. And you can see how passionate I am about this, because if we don't correct these things, these errors will go on to grow and grow and grow, and they were there 2,000 years ago in the early church. Now then Paul speaks about the Israel of God. It's not an outward rule for the Jews born in Israel with the mark of circumcision on them. No, it's a mark for the Israel of God. The Israel of God are a new creation, and they may be born and brought from any place. It does not matter where they've been brought up. It does not matter what their heritage is. It does not matter what their background is. They make up the true Israel. They are the chosen ones. And it's not wrong for me to say to you this morning that every Christian who is a Christian has been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God only has one chosen people. He never, ever, ever has had any other. And if you were Abraham's son and if you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, you would do what Abraham did. So I can identify now the true children of Israel. Who are the true children of Israel? Jesus says to the Jews who opposed him, if you were the true children of Abraham, you'd do what Abraham did. All right, what did Abraham do? He was a man of faith. Do his faith. So anyone who is a child of faith and not of works, if I asked you to stand up, I could do this, I'm not going to, but if I asked you to stand up now, and in all honesty you stood up and said, right, let those stand up who are children of faith, only a faith in Christ. It would be interesting to see how many of you stood up. Now stand up those of you who are children of works, just like the Jews of Jesus' day. He said to them, if you were the children of Abraham, you do the works of Abraham. What were the works of Abraham? They were the works of faith. Interestingly, and very frighteningly, he said, in fact, you're not the children of faith. You're not the sons of faith, really. You're the sons of the devil. And they would have said, we've got the marks in our body, don't you know? And this is what this whole argument is about. I've got the marks in my body. I've got my baptismal certificate. I've got my church membership certificate. I've got this certificate, don't you know? Are you a new creation? Are you really a part of the Israel of God? And so I need to say to you, I need to remind you, if you don't know, no point casting your eye on that little bit of land in the Middle East called Israel and thinking of them as being the Israel of God. They're unbelieving Jews who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The Israel of God is the church of Jesus Christ, because neither circumcision counts nor uncircumcision. What matters is the new creation. So if you'd have met the Apostle Paul, this is what he would have said. He would have said this: are you a Gentile? You need to be made new. Are you a Jew? You need to be made new. It's not Jewishness, it's not Gentileness, it's newness in Jesus Christ. No other rule. And so it's quite right and proper and biblical to say of this church, of those who are believers, we are the Israel of God. And I would just leave this thought with all of you. This is the rule for any true Christian. He would have put it like this. Your work is to hold to the new commandment. And the new commandment is that you should have no other God before you other than the God who has fully revealed himself by the cross of Calvary, because it is in the cross that I boast. And let the Israel of God be boasters in the cross of Calvary. I leave this thought with all of you. Jesus is a nice chap. As an ethical teacher, a great moralist, there are very few people who will disagree with that. I'll stand up for that Jesus. Now will you stand up for the Jesus of the cross, who demands repentance for sin, who has to bleed and die there to justify sinners? See if you'll stand up now. For the Apostle Paul, no difficulty. This had made the Israel of God. No other God before us, other than the God who has come down and died upon that cruel cross to make us the true Israel of God. Only the church, the Zion that we sing about, is that Israel. And it helps you, it should help you. There are a lot of Christians who get locked up in their minds and caught up with great interest in Israel. You don't need to bother about it. It's any more than you might get caught up in your mind, say, with, I don't know, with North Korea or with Japan or with Canada or where else. The Israel of God is the church of Jesus Christ. So, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. Now, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. This is where I want the boys and girls to listen up. I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. It's as if the Apostle Paul, if I can have a bit of liberty, last message, and paraphrase for a moment, he's saying, give me a break. Don't bother me. Give me a break. It was the Galatians who in their stupidity and in their foolishness, because he calls them foolish, that they had caused him so much anguish. Give me a bit of rest. Give me a break. Leave me alone for a bit. That's the form of this expression, if I can put it that way. They'd been listening to the false teachers who were boasting about what they had done. And they had caused the Apostle Paul some considerable trouble. And you know, it's not that the Apostle Paul wasn't willing to toil and to work hard. Oh no, he'd do anything for the church. He'd work day and night. No, he was the true missionary, the true minister, the true pastor. He would give everything for people. It's not meant like that. But it's meant like this. J.B. Lightfoot, that old authority from Cambridge University in the 1860s, when he wrote on this, he said, the words are like this, don't let anybody question my authority. I'm the spokesperson of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't bother me. Don't question my authority. And then he tells them why they should not bother him, why they should not question his authority. And it is like this, because I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. Let me tell you, if you didn't know, there was a day when the Apostle Paul, he would have been proud if you'd have met him, and he'd have said, do you know, I bear on my body the circumcised mark of being a child of Abraham, of being a true Jew, of being a true Israelite. I could even, if you wanted, I could reveal the marks in my body. I could show it off. Yes, he would have said that. But when the Lord called Paul to be his senior spokesperson, you wouldn't have liked this, that when he called the Apostle Paul to be his senior spokesperson, he said, I'm going to show him everything that he must suffer. I wonder how many of us would have followed the Lord if he'd have said to us, I'll show you how much I'm going to make you suffer. But that's what the Lord said to him immediately as he called him to be his chief spokesperson. And so Paul began to follow and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and it meant the most dreadful suffering. The false imposters, the false teachers, the Judaizers in Galatia would have said, I've got my mark in my body. This shows you that I belong to the Jews. And Paul says, the true Israel of God, that's me, the true Israel of God, I've got marks. Don't you know I've got marks in my body? Oh yes, I've got marks in my body that have been rendered because of my service to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got my distinguishing marks. And if you look carefully at the text, for I bear on my body. That word I bear is I shoulder them, I carry them. They're a bulky thing, it's a heavy load. They're not easily borne. I'm saying to all of you this morning, any marks, any scars that we bear for the Lord Jesus Christ, you say they're not easily borne. Of course I know they're not easily borne. It's not easy to bear the scars and the marks, the persecution and the calling and the backbiting and the hatred against a Christian. It's not easy because Paul says, I bear them. That all gives you the sense of what it was, I bear them. And it's not a biblical word, but it is a Greek word. It's the word that you've come to know, the word stigmata. It's marks. It's the word stigmata. I bear the stigmata. I bear the marks of Jesus in my body. I've been branded. I've been tattooed with these marks. Because don't you know this? That if you'd have met a pagan at the time of Paul, who was committed to his deity and was a worshipper of his deity, they were branded with the mark of the deity on their bodies. I follow this deity, and they had the brand. So that's why you'll get people who have tattoos, and it's a kind of a mark. I follow this, whatever it is, whatever the deity is. Of course they do. And that's what they did. And most of the Roman slaves were branded with a tattoo. Told everybody that they were owned, like, you know, that you brand a sheep. This sheep is owned by this owner. That's exactly what the slaves were like. Now, Paul was a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in effect, he is saying, I have the distinguishing tattoo marks on my body. Now, how many of you got marks on your bodies? I've got one, a distinguishing mark. You can see it right here. It's this one, where my teeth went through my lip when I was a boy. So that's my distinguishing mark. You'll always know me. Say, Andrew's always going to have that mark. Can't do anything about it. Jane's got one because she was in a car crash. She doesn't mind me telling you. And she's got her distinguishing mark on her head like that. And Josh has got one that he can't show you. It's on his thigh. It's a really huge one, a massive injury that he had when he was a child, and he had to have special surgery. Distinguishing marks. There you have it. Now, if we'd have met the Apostle Paul, he would have said, distinguishing marks. So, Martha, you've got your distinguishing marks now in your ears, haven't you? You were pointing them out to me last week. For your new earrings, they look fantastic. Well done. And all the other girls as well. Yeah, Isla? Got your distinguishing marks and a few others. Don't think I could go through that. I'm too much of a softie for that. Distinguishing marks. The Apostle Paul had them. They were the wounds which were left upon his body. And he is saying, don't bother me with your little stories about your circumcision, the marks in your body to identify you as a Jew. I'll show you marks if you want to see marks. This is what it has cost me to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Not ritual cuts and gashes, but these are the marks that have cost me everything. And so I just say to all of you, In our day, when we're not likely to be stoned and we're not likely to be attacked, don't run away from those things that might mark you. Oh, I was badly marked in that situation as a student or at school, at work. Oh, they hated me. They spoke ill of me. The Christian is the one who can bear marks. He can bear scars. And oh, they hated me at work because I spoke up for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's your distinguishing mark. Here are your tattoos. The unbeliever couldn't bear to speak a word about the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course he couldn't. He knows he'll get the mark on him. He bore the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, it's like this. Don't question me, Paul is saying. Don't question my authority. I have participated, as Paul says in Philippians, in the sufferings of my Saviour. If there was anything to show us this morning the irrelevance of the false teachers, and I only leave this thought with you, I'm not pressing it, but the false teachers today who sit in their ivory towers in the churches, the extraordinary religious celebrities who pat themselves on the back, do they look as though they have any scars? Do they look as though they have any wounds for the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think so. So if we are stoned and if we are beaten, so to speak, in our places of work and with our families and with our friends, and some of you might say, you know, the mocking and the scorn in my family is very difficult to cope with. I know it is. Paul says, I have to bear it. You have to bear it. I wonder if any of us could suffer if we were today in a situation as others are in other parts of the world, where we might be put in prison and bear scars and be put in prison like John Bunyan for our faith. Would you be willing to serve 9, 10, 11, 12 years in prison and be separated from your family and the people that you love for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and bearing your body these marks and these scars? Probably not. And what is asked of you? Well, the Lord asks, put up with that mocking and put up with that scorning and that backbiting and put up with that finger pointing and what they say about you in the village and your next door neighbour and your, perhaps it's your mum or your dad or your brother or your sister. Put up with it. These are but small scars. These are but small wounds, and yet they have to be borne. You're not going to be stoned. You're not going to be attacked. Probably you're not going to be even beaten up. But it's important today, that in the church, with so little persecution, that the little opposition that there is, that we are prepared to actually take it on board. Some people say, well, it causes trouble in my family. Jesus said, I've come to bring a fire. That's the way it is. The moment I became a Christian, it divided me off from the people who I had formerly walked with. They didn't like me anymore. What could I do about that? Andrew's become a religious nut, or, you know, we don't like him the way he used to talk, the way he talks now. No, we just don't like. Nobody's ever thrown any rocks at me or beaten me up. Some have threatened to when I was a student. And you might become unpopular at work or in the faculty because of your faith in Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, we must make sure that as the Lord's people, that we are prepared to take the bruises and the knocks and a little bit of the beating. Ask yourself, as you leave this place, as a Christian, have I got any marks in my body? Are there any little marks? And can I cope with any more? I'm sure you can, because the Lord will help you to bear them. Of course, he will. Just one final thought on this. Just imagine if the Apostle Paul had run away. Imagine if he had run away and said, I can't cope with this. We wouldn't have what we have to this day. So if we run away and we're not prepared to bear in our bodies the marks of Jesus, what price that? What will happen in the future? What message is going to be conveyed to the young people and the next generation? What a responsibility we bear. Well, with slight tear in my eye, I come to the very end of the message. just to comment on Paul's final words. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. He ends all of his letters in this way. He ends with grace, because the Christian gospel is all about grace. It's the only way to begin the journey, the Christian life, by the grace of God. It's the only way to continue it. It's the only way to end it. It's the only way that you'll get to the journey's end, by the grace of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Paul wanted the Christians in Galatia to bow to the liberating power of the gospel. He wanted the gospel to exert its emancipating power upon their lives. But they would just have rules and regulations and the ways of men. Oh, they did prefer it. I noted yesterday that Professor F.F. Bruce, he asked this question after this great letter of Paul was written on the Galatians. He asks, did it have an impact? And he says this, the churches still did prefer to turn to the thinking of men rather than to the liberating, emancipating power of the gospel. What are we like? What on earth are we like? If it is for freedom that Christ has set you free, then be free. If the Son shall set you free, free from Judaism, free from church edicts, free from the constraints of man, free, free in Christ, free from my sin and its power, free from Satan, free from the draw of this empty world, free, 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 free. This is what the gospel is all about. Paul says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the law of Moses, not the duties and the works and the performances, but grace. And if you understood this morning, every one of you would be a Christian. Every one of you. There wouldn't be one of you outside of the kingdom of God. There wouldn't be one of you left without the Savior. Every single one of you. But you do prefer your bondage. I remember it for 19 years, how I preferred my bondage to my sin and to this world and its ways. I can't get free. You sang it in the hymn. But my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee. He broke down the bars of bronze and iron, and he set me free because I couldn't free myself. And how was I set free? By my own works and duties? No, but by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, friends. What do I have to do to say it? God, in his grace, help me to say it better, so that everyone might be persuaded of their sin and their conviction that nothing that I do can help you or this church, but the Lord Jesus Christ can do everything for you, and he will. But you must come to him, and you must seek him by his grace and by no other means. I have nothing more to say. It's the end of Galatians. It's the end of this series. What's the number on the card? Who can? I want one of the children to tell me. You tell me, Abigail, what's the number on the card? Can you see a number, love? 64. Right. So, 64 messages in Galatians. And I trust that it has been a great blessing. I usually do this at the Bible study. I ask people if that they've been helped. Dave, have you been helped?
It's been great.
Good. What about you, Carol? What about you, Mark?
Massively encouraged.
You're welcome. Anne? Good. Dwayne, do you want to say something? You're welcome. Steve? Good. What about you, Sharon?
Yeah, really helpful.
You're welcome. Come on, don't be shy. What about you, Liam? There you are at the back.
That's been a great series.
Are you helped?
Very
good. Good. What about you, John? Good. So we've had the book of Revelation and John's Gospel as a series, and now we've had Galatians. Don't ask me where we will go next. I'll be deciding over the summer, and so you'll have to wait until the autumn. Well, God bless his word to every one of our hearts. Amen.
Amen.